tension and the whole competitive spirit of chess, do you find that any different from the other sports? Maybe say like the, whether it be martial arts or whether it be basketball or whether it be some other competitive sport. Do you think that chess differs, or if so, how does it differ?
I think chess is very different because you have to stay focused longer. If you had to fight in martial arts, for example, the fight could be over in 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
or 5 minutes or sooner. If you take basketball, most of those games only last like 2.5 hours. They get all those timeouts so the coach can talk to them. Football, maximum 3 hours, a little bit over 3 hours. Same thing, you get to get off the field, rest if you're on one defense or offense. Baseball, same thing, you get to sit, chew some gum and go back and, you know, relax on the in the dugout. Chess, I think, is in many ways tougher. Because, you know, you could be sitting there for 4, 5, 6 hours, and that's normal. So a chess player, that's not even anything special. You tell that to the average person, and they, like, they're rolling there, like, what? How can you do that? To them, it seems like a marathon. But marathons are not as long as chess games. So I just think chess is such, because it's mental, because you got your mind is competing, naked average, extreme intensity. It's clear that they have a lot of intensity, all the sports. But chess requires intensity over time. And therefore, I think that's its main difference between the other sports.
I only got a couple more questions. One is dealing with, during the game while you're playing, you're in the middle game, and it's very complicated. There's a lot of different variations, and it's your move, your clock is ticking, and you have about five different moves you could play. How do you begin to break down that position and decide what move you're finally going to play in the position?
I think an early question you asked really pertains to this one in a big way. There comes a point in chess where the truth is more important than the principles. I think a lot of players are guided by principle. Two bishops are good. Rook on an open file. Double pawns are bad. Don't leave your king in the center. And I think that a big difference between grandmasters and lower rated players is that those principles are only guidelines. They're not the truth.
Mm.
They may help you to get to the truth, but a lot of times they could stand in your way of understanding the truth. And grandmasters are much more comfortable with exceptions to the rule and able to find more exceptions to the rule. So that a grandmaster move may seem shocking because it breaks a principle, but the principle, grandmasters aren't slaves to principle.
Right.
They're slaves to finding what the best continuation is here, the most accurate. So whenever I'm in a position, no matter how complicated it is, I'm wondering to myself, you know, what works here?
Mm-hmm.
Just what works? What's good? What's gonna push this position further towards resolution on my side? And a lot of times what you're looking for is a continuation of your initiative or stopping your opponent's initiative. And I think initiative, Joël Lautier, the French grandmaster, said this to me a long time ago, that grandmasters considered. One thing he noticed was that the Russian grandmasters consider initiative more important than anything else. And the initiative just dictates the flow of the game, dictates who has control over what's going on, who's listening to who in the argument. And that may mean having what seems like a poor pawn structure. That may mean giving up the two bishops. You know, any host of things.
Mm-hmm.
The variety of moves you have is it's not even like you have all those moves. Really, usually you only have one or two. And you have to find the real move that speaks to the position. And it could be, you know, there's too many varied positions for us to say, how would you start to think? It's the one that keeps the balance the way the position is.
What?
If it's an advantage for you, it keeps that advantage. If it's advantage for your opponent, then it tries to minimize that advantage.
I remember you played that move in that audio game. I think it was Queen E1 or something. You remember that against the Polish guy?
Yeah.
And it seemed to break all the principles of sound play in that position.
Right.
And I think you indicated that there were other, you know, possibly better moves that could have been played. And maybe that's one of those examples where you decided that you want to play a move that's more truthful as opposed to, well, I should have played F4 or some other move that was, you know, a normal move in that position.
Yeah, I mean, normal moves are often good moves, but sometimes normal moves just lead to standard positions and don't give you anything special. I put a premium on being creative, and I put a premium on being a little unorthodox. Not much, but I put a serious premium on being truthful and looking to find, you know, the move that fits. And sometimes it's just a move that fits your style, you know? You want to take the game in a certain kind of direction. What's true for Maurice Ashley may not be true for Petrosian.
Right.
True for Karpov, if I may put myself in that company. It's just me. What's true for me is what's true for me, and this is the kind of game I want to play. And I think that reveals a very strong point that people have to recognize, is that there's so many moves in a chess position that sometimes there are three or four moves that fundamentally work, that will get you to the goal. Maybe won't get you to the goal as fast, but will get you there. Will create the kind of game that you like to play. What sense does it make playing a move that leads to a winning attack if you're not good at attacking?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't find the kind of moves that required in the middle of an attack. You look at all those spectacular tall games, and it's like, wow, look at that great game. But if, you know, he gets this dynamic position, and maybe he is winning, but it requires him to sack two or three pieces plus his queen, then find a nice waiting move at the end of all that to win the game. For tall, that's academic.
Yeah.
For the average grandmaster, it's not. So why would you put yourself in that kind of breakneck, risk, do or die situation? Because supposedly, it's better for you. It's a winning attack. No, you play chess according to your own standards, and you become more comfortable with your own skill level that you can play your chess and still win the game.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the issues with a lot of younger players when they read these books, and they look at the symbols, and they say, well, this is better for white, and they go into the line, and then the guy plays something else or puts a wrinkle in there, then they're lost.
Not just younger players. Not just younger players. A lot of people are misguided. I think one thing that is a real serious distinction between grandmasters and other players is that a grandmaster is a lot less trusting. A lot less trusting.
Yeah.
I don't just believe you because you said so.
Yeah.
I start to think for myself. And I remember a friend of mine, Willie Johnson, told me a story a long time ago. In the 70s, he was playing against Rossolimo. And Rossolimo used to have a shop here in New York. And Rossolimo is, of course, the famous Rossolimo variation in Sicilian defense. So Rossolimo kept playing this move, and it was Bishop B5 on the third move.
Right.
And he kept blanking, and at the time, it wasn't well known at all. And my friend was playing him, and he was playing him for some change, you know, because he was basically getting lessons from the grandmaster, he felt. But he couldn't figure out what to do about this move. And he went home and he looked it up and he couldn't find it in theory. And he came back and the guy kept playing the move. And he said, "Grandmaster, I'm sorry, but, you know, your move is not supposed to be that good. You know, the book says this. And you're playing just, you know, side my stuff. What's going on?" And Rossolimo looked at him and said, "Grandmasters are stronger than book." And for him, him, it was a shock and a revelation to realize that, yeah, the book, whatever, says so-and-so. But who's writing these books?
Yeah.
First of all, the best person in the world to write a chess book, who would you want to write a chess book but a grandmaster?
Mm-hmm.
So here's a grandmaster you're playing. He can answer the argument also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the suspicion of another person's ideas is one of the strongest differences between a grandmaster and other players. They grandmaster will doubt your idea more mm-hmm. than other players will. Other player will be like, oh, the grandmaster so and so, it must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what happens when two grandmasters disagree? Who's right?
Huh.
You have to learn a thing for yourself.
Yeah.